Okay, we're starting here with the two dots on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. It's not autumn. We have a Mishnah in Shkalim. Shomrei Sfichim Bishvi'it Notlim Scharam Mitshumat Alishka. Those that guard the Sfichim and Shvi'it, they take their remuneration from Shumat Alishka, which means that they get paid out of the Machatzita Shekel as part of the budget of the Mikdash. The problem that you have during Shvi'it is where are you going to bring the Omer and the Shtei Alechem from? Because you don't have produce that's been grown by Hekdesh, because everybody's desisting from planting and from engaging with working the land. So you have to bring from whatever grows by itself, which is otherwise known as Svichim. Svichim are aftergrowths, things that arise from themselves, whether that's from the seeds that fell from the previous year, or whether that's from the stalks that regrow afterwards. That is what they're going to have to use for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. But then you have a secondary problem, which is that all of that is Hefker. And so anyone who wants to take it can come in and take it. So how does the Mikdash guarantee that they're going to have some sort of supply of barley and wheat for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem? That's what's being discussed here, that they had Shomrei Svichim B'Shvit. They had these guards that were placed around the fields. We're going to discuss it in more detail in a second, that stop people from coming and picking in certain areas. And those areas were designated to be the sources for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. And since their job is associated with the Mikdash and the facilitation of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, they get paid out of the budget of the Mikdash. So Rami Bar Chamler of Chista, so he brought this stira. Tanan, we have the Mishnah of Shomrei Svichim B'Shvit Notlim Schara Mitshumat Alishka. Viriminu. Then we have a problem with the guards to Perot Shvi'it. By Perot Shvi'it, there's a demand, le'ochla, velo le'sreifa, that the Perot Shvi'it, you're entitled to eat the Perot HaShvi'it. They are yours to be eaten, but you may not destroy them, you may not burn them. The problem you have here is with the Omer. The Omer that's brought, a komets from the Omer goes on the Mizbeach and is burnt up. So if you're going to use Perot Shvi'it, Perot Shvi'it must be eaten, they can't be destroyed, and then putting them in his bech is a destruction of Perot Shvi'it. Samalei, Rachmana Amar Lecha L'Dorotechem. By the Omer, it says that you do this L'Dorotechem, which means always, on a permanent basis. Ve'at Amar Tibatel. So your suggestion is that on the years of Shvi'it, they're not going to bring the Omer because you have to burn part of it on the Mizbeach. Your question in of itself is problematic because you assume that the solution would be to not bring it on that year. Well, that's an impossibility because the Torah says the Dor Techem. You have to always do it. So if you always have to do it, the Torah is already giving you permission to do whatever you have to do on Shvi'it. Samarlei, Umiki Amina Ana Tibatel. Do am I telling you that you actually have to desist from bringing the Omer during that year? Laiti Meshtakad. Bring it from last year's grain. Sabina Carmel Veleka. You need fresh kernels. Carmel, which we learned in Parak the Rabbi Yishmael, that it requires that it be something that is fully grown, immature, and fresh. Velaiti mi Carmel de Eshtakad. So bring from that which was Carmel de Eshtakad last year. Which means that Carmel is a designation of the grain when it is picked. So if you last year picked the grain when it was Carmel, even though now it's a year later, it still was grain that was Carmel when you picked it. Amar Kra, Carmel Takriv, says Carmel, which will then be put on the Mizbeach, Beina Carmel Bishat Akrava. The Carmel is not just about when it's picked at the time of Ktzira, it's also at the time of Hakrava Veleka, and that's missing over here. So the Carmel aspect of it is what drives us to have to take it from the fresh grains of this year. And if that's the case, you can't use the previous year's grains, according to those who think that using the previous year's grains is even an option, because we saw yesterday that the author of our Mishnah thinks that Chadash is the only way you can bring it. Yashan was not an option. But we had Tanaim in the Braita, as well as that which was brought from Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Akiva, Bidiavad, was it brought from the Yashan, that possibly would be okay. So according to those, why can't you use last year's produce and solve all your problems with regards to Shvi'it? The answer is it has to be Carmel. And not only Carmel at the time you're picking, but Carmel at the time that it goes on the Mizbeach, That's only possible with the chodosh, with the new grains. Right? I'm going to just take a breather here to deal with the Baal HaTosafot, which has major implications to Shvi'it v'zman hazeh. He talks about here two issues. One is the issue of Svichim. Svichim is a machloket between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan as to whether Svichim are an Iser de Rabbanan or an Iser de Oraita. Now, first of all, the definition of Svichim are things that grew on the Shvi'it from, again, we spoke about grains that were dropped, seeds that were dropped, that grew of their own on the Shvi'it. There is also Svichim, quote-unquote, that come from the Shishit. That is, things that grew by themselves or grew at the end of the Shishit and then went into the Shvi'it. Over there is no Iser of Svichim. Those are permitted to be eaten. They just have Kedushat Shvi'it because the picking of vegetables or those types of items determines what year they belong to. When you pick them during the Shvi'it, they'll have Kedushat Shvi'it. They just won't have an Iser of Svichim. So that's what happens many times here, where they try to get things into the ground before the Shvi'it. I mean, 3 days before Shvi'it starts, they go, you'll see them plowing and planting away, because that avoids the problem of Svichim if things are in the ground before the Shvi'it year. If it's grown during the Shvi'it or grows by itself during the Shvi'it, then you have this problem of Svichim. Svichim is a serious issue, because if you think about a situation unlike today where we have refrigeration and we have the ability today to just store on a commercial level from previous years, in those years, Svichim were a mainstay of product that people could eat during the Shvi'it. When the Rabbanan impose an Iser on Svichim, it takes away one of the main sources of food and grains during the year. They did that because of the problem of Ovrei Aveira, which was that people were literally planting on the Shvi'it and then saying it was Svichim. And obviously there's no way to tell whether it was planted intentionally or unintentionally. And because of that problem, the Rabbanan entered the fray. There must have been a serious number of violations in order to do such a thing. But then it makes it very difficult on the people because you have this issue of Svichim. And again, for the Rabbanan, Svichim are only Osur mid Rabbanan, whereas for Rabbi Akiva, Svichim are Osur mid Oraita. That's based on the Pasuk. Sviach Kitzircha Lo Tiktzor, Inve Nizrecha Lo Tiktzor, because it's a year of Shemitah. But most read that simply as the restriction against harvesting in the normal way that you harvest. That's how the Rabbanan read it. Whereas Rabbi Akiva reads that as being a problem of Svichim. So that's first of all the issue of Svichim and the Isra of Svichim. So in and of itself, that's not a problem because we pass on like the Rabbanan and Svichim are only Midrabbanan. So for things like the Omer, there's not going to be an issue because Midoraita, these are grains of Heter. And the Rabbah makes it clear that he thinks that the Isra of Svichim only applies to Jewish fields, not the non-Jewish fields, because the whole Isra of Svichim was preventing Ovrei Aveira. But a goy who's not nitztaveh on Shvita da Karka during the Shvi'it, there's no Iser of Svichim associated with the land of the goy. That might also have implications with regards to Heter Mechira, because it's a land of the goy, and a Jew is working it. Does that then have the status of a land of a goy? If that's the case, then there's no Iser of Svichim.
But if they actually do plant it on Shvi'it, and you believe that a Jew working on a non-Jew's field in Eretz Yisrael, or that the Heter Mechira fails, and therefore it's a Jew working the land during Shvi'it, then what is planted there for Heter Mechira would get a status of Svichim, and that would present the problem for the produce of Heter Mechira, again, for those that don't hold of Heter Mechira.
Although today they avoid most of that problem by planting everything before the Shvi'it, even in the fields of Heter Mechira, and therefore you don't even bump into the problem of Svichim, because it was all planted in the sixth year and growing on the seventh year. The problem you have is the Shmirah, which is one of the requirements on Shvi'it. Not only is not to work the land, there's another requirement, a separate issue, which is to release all the produce of your land to others to make it hefker. You're not allowed to guard your fields. You're not allowed to block people's entry to the fields. It is a open season, free and clear. Anybody can come and take fruits, vegetables, whatever it is that are growing in the fields, anyone who has access to them. One who is shomer peirot shvi'it is violating these instructions of the Torah to allow anyone who wants to come during Shemitah and eat it. So now Tosafot asks a question, and the question is really premised on a very tiny Tosafot at the end of Yevamot that really causes major issues today. Tosfot says, how can we bring from the items that are guarded? If guarding items is problematic on Shvi'it, now you've created Isur in the Peirot. Isur in the Peirot means they can't go on the Mizbeach because there's something called Mashke Yisrael. We've seen this before. It's the Pasuk in Yechezkel, which says that only that which is Mutar to Yisrael is allowed to be placed on the Mizbeach. If you tell me that Shmirah now renders whatever is there to be problematic or Isur, and therefore Yisrael, you couldn't eat from those items, then how could you place it on the Mizbeach? And that's Tosafot's question. It's premised on the Shita of the Rebbeinu Tam, which Baal HaTosafot quote over here, it's found in Yevamot and Kuf Chaf Bet as well, which is that if you are Shomer, Peirot Shvi'it, it makes them Asurim Ba'achila. You could easily have seen, and this is the way that most Rishonim view it, that the Shmirah, Peirot Shvi'it, is an Isur. It's a restriction midoraita to guard Peirot Shvi'it. But that has no impact on the Peirot themselves. The Peirot are not Peirot of Isur. There's the Isur was that you block people's entry to the Peirot. Doesn't mean you change the status of the Peirot. The Baal HaTosafot clearly believe that if you guard the Peirot, that guarding of the Peirot and keeping them as a private property makes them into Isur. And that's why he's asking the question over here, V'im tamar heich omer bamina mishumar. How could it come from mishumar be'inan mimashke Yisrael? Or besof yivamot, this is the Tosfot at the end of yivamot, muchach, the asur gabe obdei chokhovim, she'am mocher peirot bashuk, v'amar peirot alalu shel orlahim, shel azakahim, shel neter revayim, lo amar klum. So this is a statement of somebody selling fruits, and he's telling you that these fruits are asur. Despite the fact that he's telling you that these peirot are asur, you're allowed to buy them from him. It's a goy saying that these are orla, these are neter revai, these are peirot that were from azeka. All of these would render the peirot to be asurim. Nevertheless, we don't listen to the goy because they're just enhancing their product. They're trying to make a sales pitch. And when he says that it's orla, he's not saying that it's really orla. He's just saying it's coming from a young sapling. It's coming from a tree that's young, not from an older tree. He doesn't really mean it's orla. One of those items is ozek or azekah. And the question is, what does that mean that it is azekah? So he says, operisha kuntris b'shem rabutav, that shel azekah, hein mi parzdeis, mi ozek v'gadar lan saviv. That means that it had some sort of stone fence or some sort of perimeter that blocked it, v'hi shnat shvi'it. And that was the shvi'it. So there, the implications of the Gemara were, the Goy is saying this, which would mean that if we really believed him, it would be Asur. So now those are Peirot Shvi'it that are guarded. They were blocked off by a fence. And the Gemara is saying, had it not been for the fact we don't believe this Goy, they would have been Asurim. So that indicates that these are Asurim. So then, Ve'ikshar Kuntris. Rashi over there says, Ma Isur Yeshkan. Rashi is perplexed. Because you're Shomer the Peirot Shvi'it, what Isur is there? If it passed the time where you have to eliminate or rid yourself of Peirot Shvi'it, loshna mina mishumar, loshna mina mufkar, asurim. Why do you have to guard them? If they're not guarded, they're problematic. It's a time-bound problem, and has nothing to do with guarding them. V'kodem azman, elu ve'elu mutarim. Rashi says, before that time period, both of them are mutarim. V'perish d'hai azeka, shem ir sheb'eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he rejects the explanation of his Rebbeim and says that this is a reference not to a guarded field, but rather a specific location in Eretz Yisrael. I'm assuming that he's referencing to Tel Azekah. Here are the quotes from a pasuk in Yoshua about Azekah, but it's also mentioned in Shmuel Aleph with regards to the battle between David and Goliath, which is right outside of Beit Shemesh. There's Tel Azekah, and that might be what the reference is to over here. And supposedly they were excellent fruits from that area. And the chashash was that they belonged to Jews. And there wasn't Trumot and Masro taken off of them, that they were Tevel. And this guy is saying they're from Azekah, which would imply that they were Jewish-owned fruits. So we don't believe him to say that they are Tevel. That's how Rashi avoids the whole problem. Oli oroch perush shel Azekah perot shvi'it shenechreshu bishvi'it. These are perot shvi'it where the area or the land was plowed on shvi'it. So he's saying it's not from a field that wasn't plowed, but rather from a field that was plowed. But, Rabbeinu Tam, Mikayim Perish Rabotav. Rabbeinu Tam is Mikayim, the Perish the Rabotav Shorashi, the Azeka Lashon Gader. That Azeka means a fence, means a wall around it, guarding it. Based on that sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, Tosafot says, the Gemara is saying, had it not been for the fact we don't believe this guy, they would have been Asurim. So that indicates that these are Asurim, and that's the proof of the Balei Tosafot, the Rabbeinu Tam, that if you guard Perot Shvi'it, that they are problematic. So then Tosafot in the end says, Vim ken hecha shar yahocha lavi omer misfichim mishumarim, habinim mimashkei Yisrael min amutar liYisrael. Tosafot says, if you're Shomer the Perot Shvi'it over here, how can you ever put them on the Mizbeach? Yesh lomar, the Oraita bitzira davka asur, aval ba'achila shori. So one way the Balei Tosafot deal with it is to say that midoraita, the only restriction is bitzira. If you actually are botzer them when you have them in this locked up position or private position, that's the isur, is actually doing the harvesting or harvesting when you mishumar, but they're not asurim ba'achila. They might be asur bidrabanan, but midoraita, they're not asurim. That's one possibility. But the odiyesh the faresh, the other possibility is the shomrei svichim da'ocha, lo yemonim b'nei adam likach. The guys who were guarding it didn't stop people. They weren't bouncers. They weren't protecting the peirot. They would just inform the people, these are going to be used for the omer and the shtelechem. And so they would hope that the people would listen and not take, but they wouldn't prevent people from taking it. So it's a different type of shmirah. It's not a shmirah in the sense of blocking access to people. It's simply an informative type of shmirah. And in that case, it wouldn't be a problem. Inami, tziracha, v'nizirecha, marachmana. The third answer of the Tosafot is that it says the restriction is tziracha and nizirecha. Amarachmana, didachin, v'loshel hektesh. The same way that we do this by tzirah. We say that Ktzirat Omer is mutar on Shvi'it is because Ktzircha is asur, not Ktzirat Ekdesh. So too, with regards to these peirot being restricted, it's only Ktzircha and Nizirecha that are asurim. It is not that of Hekdesh that is asurim, and therefore Mishumar of Hekdesh would not be asurim. Tosafot then ends off dealing with Rabbi Kiva Shita, that Svichim are asur deoraita. How do you bring Svichim as the Korbanei HaOmer? Over there he says that's not a problem, because every year they're not from Mashkei Yisrael, because every year when you bring the Chodosh as the Omer, the Chodosh is yet to be Mutar. So by definition, the grains that you are bringing are grains that are problematic because of the fact that they're not Mutar yet. And so he says that adding on the Yisrael Svichim is not such a big deal. Right, that's always an aside to our Gemara over here, but it's all premised on the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, the Shita of the Tosfot, that Mishumar is Asur, not just Asur to do the Shmirah, it renders the Peirot Asurim. Why is that so important? Because that has ramifications today with regards to Heter Mechira. If you subscribe to Heter Mechira, there is no problem. But if you believe that Heter Mechira doesn't work, then for people who do not hold of Heter Mechira, generally the Poskim believe that you can eat the produce of Heter Mechira. There's no inherent Isur in the Peirot of Heter Mechira. But that could be problematic according to the Balei HaTosafot. According to the Balei HaTosafot, if Heter Mechira fails, like the Chazon Ish says, that it's an Ein Shliach D'Dvar Aveira, you can't create the sales of Heter Mechira, they're inherently Pasul, and therefore this Mechira never went through. The Mechira never happened. Well, if the Mechira never happens, and now the farmer's treating the field like his field, and is Mishumar, basically he's guarding the field, treats it like private property, you now have what's called Mishumar according to the Balei HaTosafot. And that means that Fia Balei HaTosafot, according to those that think that Heter Mechira doesn't work, you render the Peirot to be Asurim. Asurim Midoraita according to the Balei HaTosafot. One of the three or four answers he gave here said it was the Rabbana. But according to the other three answers, he thinks that it's Doraita the problem of Shmirat Peirot. And therefore that presents a problem if you think that Heter Mechira fails. So most poskim, again, say that with the Heter Mechira, even if you may not subscribe to it, it doesn't render the peirot inherently asur. So that means that people who are invited over to others who eat Heter Mechira, that in it itself should not be problematic because you could eat the peirot. The peirot themselves are not asurim. But that's not necessarily true because the Balei HaTosafot believe that Mishumar is asur, d'oraita, and if you feel that Heter Mechira doesn't work, then you have a problem Mishumar, according to the Balei HaTosafot. And that's why it presents a very serious problem in terms of Heter Mechira and Perot Shvit, especially for those that don't think that Heter Mechira works. Because according to most, again, it would have been not a problem to eat those Perot, even though they don't subscribe to the methodology. But this Baalei Tosafot would actually render the whole process problematic and make the Perot into Perot of Isur. The Safek, you're right, is a Psak Halacha. Almost all the other Rishonim disagree, including Rashi with the Baalei Tosafot, who think that Shmirat Perot Shvit does not create an Isur. So again, it's all a Chashash because of this Baalei Tosafot, but according to Baalei Tosafot, it's a Chashash Deoraita. Obviously today, where Shmita is only the Rabbanan anyway, you have more latitude to work with it. But it's a serious issue according to the Baalei Tosafot, and therefore, just this small issue here, it's a much smaller Tosafot than Yuvamot, that's where everybody quotes it from, but it creates serious ramifications in terms of Heter Mechira. Alright, so now, Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Carmel, Takriv. There is a requirement that it be put on the Mizbeach as Carmel. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Reshit Kitzircha. Reshit Kitzircha, Velof Sof Kitzircha. It has to be the beginning of the Kitzira, meaning the beginning of the harvest, not the end of the harvest. If you bring stuff from last year, even though it was harvested early, at this point it's the end of last year's harvest, it's not the beginning of this year's harvest. So what they're arguing about is, what is the failure in bringing items from last year? Rabbi Yochanan says the failure is Carmel Takriv, that it has to be not only Carmel when you pick it, it has to be Carmel when it goes on Mizbeach. Belozer has said that the problem is it has to be Reshit Kitzircha. It's only Reshit Kitzircha if it's from the new grain, it's not Reshit Kitzircha if it's from the old grain. Motiv Rabbah. Beim takriv minchat bikurim la'Hashem, aviv, kaloi ba'esh, geres, karmel, takriv, et minchat bikurecha. So this is the minchat bikurim that is found in Perek Bet in Vayikra, we're speaking about the menachot, and we're going to see in a second, it's a reference to the minchat ha'omer, and therefore we have the requirements, which we discussed again earlier in the Masechta, the requirements of the omer must be aviv, that it has to be from the new grains that are mature. Kaloi ba'esh, it has to be roasted in the fire, which we discussed in Machloket about how that works. Geres, it has to be made into a fine solet. Karmel, which again we discussed, which is karmalei, that it has to be fully mature, it has to be moist. Takriv et minchat bikurecha. That's the making of the minchat omer. And this is what's being quoted in the bright over here, that is the question that Rabbah poses. Where does it come from? Does it come from the barley? Again, which is what the Minchat Omer comes from. Again, this is classic style of a Tanaic work, which is it gives you the answer up front, then it backs away and says, are you sure that's the answer? Maybe it could have been something else, and then it brings you back. So again, it states the facts up front. It thinks it's Minchat Omer, and it thinks it comes from barley. Then the Braita backs away and says, are you so sure it comes from barley? Maybe it comes from chitin. So again, we saw this earlier in Masechta back on Daf Samechet. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nemar Aviv b'Mitzrayim, b'Nemar Aviv l'Dorot. The pasuk that we just read has the word Aviv in it. The word Aviv is also brought in Makat Barad in Mitzrayim, which says that the items that were destroyed were the Se'orim and the Pishtan, because they were Aviv. They were early grains, they're things that rise early, whereas the chitan, the kusemet, which are late growers, they were too soft so that the barad did not destroy them. But you see there that aviv is a reference to the barley maturation, the harvest of the barley when it's already in its stalks. So there, ma aviv amur b'mitzrayim se'orim, the reference of aviv over there is to barley, af aviv amur l'dorot in ubala minisorim. So too the Aviv that's mentioned here in the Omer is also the Se'orim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva has a different source for it. Matzino yachid shemevi chobato min achitin umevi chobato min Se'orim. Individuals have korbanei mincha that come from wheat and korbanei mincha that come from Se'orim that come from barley. All the minachot of a yachid come from wheat with the exception of one, which is the minchat kinaot, the minchat sotah that comes from barley. But there are manifestations of wheat and barley by the Minchat HaYachid. V'av tzibur mevi chobotu min achitim, mevi chobotu min haseorim. The tzibur also brings from wheat, and it brings from barley. Now as far as wheat is concerned, we find definitely items. There's no Minchat HaTzibur, but there is the Shtei HaLechem, there is the Lechem HaPanim, the Minchat Nisachim, everything like that comes from a wheat product. So now, that is in terms of chobato min a wheat, chobato from wheat. Mevi chobato min a sorim, where do we ever find that the tzibor brings a korbanat tzibor that comes from barley? Imata omer min a chitin, if you say the korban omer comes from wheat, lo matzinu tzibor, shemevi chobato min a sorim, then that parallel does not exist, and the tzibor never brings a korban chova from the seorim. So that must mean that the korban omer is from seorim, therefore you have a manifestation of mincha by the yachid and chitin and seorim, manifestation by the tzibor of chitim and seorim. Now Rabbi Kiva must have had some misora like that, because it's almost a backwards logic. It's saying, oh, we have chitim and seorim by yachid, chitim and seorim by tzibor. Where do we find seorim? Must be the omer. But how did you know that there was, by the tzibor, chitim and seorim? So that must have been the misora, that there were these parallel structures in the yachid and the tzibor. And then, once you know that, you have to say, the only thing left over to say that could come from barley is the omer. Davar acher. Im ata omer, omer ba min achitin. If you say that omer comes from wheat, ein shtei lechem bikurim, then you have a problem, because there's a requirement that the shtei lechem be bikurim, be the first. Well, if the omer is from wheat, then the shtei lechem that come on Shavuot are not the first wheat that ends up on the mizbech. They're not the first items that are brought into the mikdash of that type. You already did that by the omer. Alma mishum bikurim hu. The reason over here is bikurim. That's the question. Who is this question on? So if you look in Miuchas, the Rashi says, but tuyufta de Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says tuyufta here, it's a strong refutation of Rabbi Yochanan's position. It says for the fact that it says Carmel prevents you from bringing from the older stuff, and the newer stuff has to be brought because it says Carmel to Kriv. Over here, the Gemara says that it has to do with Bikurim. Bikurim tells you that it's got to be the first stuff or the newer stuff. Therefore, it's more akin to what Rabbi Elazar says, that Reshit Kitzircha, it's got to be the first grains or the first harvest. So that's the way Miuchas Rashi reads. And the Rashi in Taviyad says, the time of the Shtei Melechem is Shum Bikurim. The reason behind the Shtei Melechem is Bikurim. Have the Bikurim be'ina. We require Bikurim. V'hu adin la'omer. Dirakti ve'nami Bikurim. Because the word Bikurim is also used over there. V'hainu k'Rabbi Elazar. That's like Rabbi Elazar. V'kashu l'Rabbi Yochanan. It's a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. So both Miuchas Rashi and Rashi in the Ktav Yad believe the questions on Rabbi Yochanan and not on Rabbi Elazar, and it's a Tiyufta. The Balei HaTosafot over here, the last Balei HaTosafot over here say, Kach perish bakuntris, v'nir el tavayu parich. He said, I think it's a question both on Rabbi Yochanan and on Rabbi Elazar. Tahar Rabbi Elazar perish time v'shum dechtev reshit kitzircha v'lo sof kitzircha. So he has a different reason also. They're both bringing reasons that have nothing to do with Bikurim. They have to do with Kitzircha, they have to do with Carmel. It's not the same reason. And therefore, the Balei HaTosafot believe the question here is both on Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Bim Tomar, umay time av tiyufta. Why is it a tiyufta? Why is it a refutation of their position? Lema dechada mitzvah, vechada akev. You could say that there are actually two sources. One source teaches you the lechatchila should be done this way. The second source teaches you it would be me'akev. And it must be from that item. Beish lamar, detrei bikurim tiv. The word bikurim appears twice already, and therefore I don't need these additional limudim, whether it's reshit kitzircha or kormel, I don't need those to teach me that it must be from the chodesh, and it can't be from the older grains. Now, what's interesting over here is the usage of the term tiyufta. Tiyufta is usually when we have a position, and then the position is undermined and refuted, and we say this is a strong refutation of the position. Over here, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan are not taking a position that's in opposition to what is being said here in the Braita. It's simply a question of a limud, of a source. So it's an interesting usage of the term tiyufta over here. Generally we see tiyufta when we're speaking about an opposing position or an halachic position. Over here it's not really a halachic position, it's a source. And they're saying it's a tiyufta against them sourcing it from there, but rather the source is Bikurim and not Carmel Takiv or Reshit Kitzircha. Alright, it's not Otom. We have a Mishnah in Bikurim. Ein maybe in Bikurim chutz mishivat aminim. Bikurim only come from the Shivat Aminim, velo mitmarim shibaharim. So now, this is one of the Shivat Aminim. Tmarim, which are the dvash in the pasuk of the Shivat Aminim, references the dvash tmarim. So tmarim are part of the Shivat Aminim, yet you may not bring them from the tamarim, the dates that are grown on the mountains, on the high places, v'lo mipirot shebamakim, and not from fruits that are grown in the valleys. V'amar ula, imhevi lo kidesh. If you bring these items, they are considered to be subpar, and they're not nitkadesh, meaning that they do not become bikurim. It's not just a lechatchila item, this is even bidiavad, that which you bring from these are considered to be subpar, to the point where even bidiavad, they do not become bikurim. Yotiv Rabba, b'kamar lahashmaitita, so Rabba was sitting, saying over this memra of Ula, Eitavei Rabacha Rabba, the Rabba. So Rabacha Rabba asked Rabba, Kurban Reshit. The psukim here in Vayikra Bet speak about a Kurban Reshit. The psukim beforehand say, Ko mincha, asher tegvu l'ashem, lo taseh chametz. You can't make it out of chametz. B'chol sor, b'chol devash, lo tektiru mimenu yishel l'ashem. Sor and devash cannot end up on the mizbeach. Kurban Reshit tekrivo otam l'ashem. But they are brought as a Kurban Reshit to Hashem. El mizbeach lo yalu l'reach michoach. Even though they're brought as a Kurban Reshit, they don't end up on the Mizbeach. The reference, and this is what the question is going to be, of Kurban Reshit is to two items that are brought into the Mikdash Reshit. Reshit are the Shtei Alechem, which are the first of the wheat that is brought in the Mikdash. As we've learned already, the Shtei Alechem don't end up on the Mizbeach. The Kvasim end up on the Mizbeach, but the Shtei Alechem are eaten by the Kohanim. But that is Chametz that is brought into the Mikdash. That's one Kurban Reshit. There's another Kurban Reshit, which are the Bikurim, that are brought up, the first fruits that are brought into Mikdash, included in those fruits are, quote-unquote, devash. Devash either could be devash tamarim, or it could be the mitikut peirot. Many believe that the restriction here against putting devash on the mizbeach is not just honey, literally, but it is anything that is sweet, or even, we'll call it sugar from fruits, fruits that are sweet, you can't put on the mizbeach. So that would include all of the bikurim, but there is a demand of reshit. You bring the first bikurim up to the mikdash. So now that's what the Gemara is quoting over here. Korban reshit, shedei reshit the chol minachot. That has to be the first of all minachot. V'cheinu omer, v'akrivchem mincha chadasha l'Hashem b'shavuotechem. The korbanei musaf of Shavuot, it says there that when you bring the mincha chadasha l'Hashem b'shavuotechem on Shavuot, ein li ela chadasha shel chitim. It has to be the newest one of wheat. Chadasha shel si'orim minayin. The new one of barley, where do I know that from? Tamalomar chadasha, chadasha. It has the word chadasha twice. Once by the psukim in Parshat Pinchas, and once by the psukim in Parshat Emor. He crafted mincha chadasha l'Hashem. So the word chadasha appears twice. It's not going to teach you that this has got to be the first mincha of wheat. It also has to be the first mincha of Se'urim in the Mikdash. Over here, it's just interesting. Rashi in the Ktav Yad says something that's very controversial. He says over here, when the Braita suggests over here that Chadasha means it has to be the first of wheat, that's a reference to the Shtei Alechem. When it says that Chadasha has to be the first of the barley, that's a reference to the Omer. And he says over here, Minchata Omer, Haba'as Se'orim, Me'nayin Shtei Kodemet L'Se'orim. How do we know that's gotta be the first barley? Shalotei Mincha Mis'orim Kodemla. That there is no Minchat Se'orim that comes before it. It's very difficult for a number of reasons, one of which is the word Chadasha Chadasha appears by the Shtei Alechem, not by the Omer. Right, the Dazem, Enu Le'inyan. If it's not for this, use it for that. But they only say that with regards to wheat, to barley. They don't say, Menu Inyan the Shtei Alechem, make it for the Omer. But Rashi in the Ktav Yad says this is a reference to the Omer. The simpler explanation, and that's what you find in the Yuchas, the Rashi, is that the Shtei Alechem have to be the first. That means they have to be the first both for the wheat and the barley that comes in the Mikdash. That means that between the Minchat Omer that is brought on Pesach and the Shtei Alechem that are brought on Shavuot, you're going to have no minachot that are brought from the new tvuah. That means both from the new tvuah of chitim, as well as the new tvuah of barley, they can't be brought. There's actually a window of time in which it probably would be difficult to bring minachot, unless you were bringing from the older grains. But even the older grains might be problematic, because it's supposed to be the first of this season on the mizbeach. So there actually is a window between Pesach and Shavuot where maybe there was a limited number of menachot that were brought or they weren't brought. It also happens to be the harvest time, so nobody was around. It might have been such a big deal, but that would be the implications here that the Shtei Lechem have to be the first mincha, both for Chitin and for Seorim. And that's the way that most read it, unlike the Rashi and the Ktav Yad over here. Uminayin Shtei Kodem LeBikurim. How do you know that the Shtei Lechem have to precede the Bikurim? Meaning that the right to bring Bikurim to the Mikdash only starts on Shavuot. How can you know that you can't bring Bikurim prior to Shavuot? So the Breiter phrases it this way. How do you know that Shtei Lechem have to come before the Bikurim? Well, if Shtei Lechem come on Shavuot, that implies that you can't bring Bikurim before Shavuot. Tamal Ogbar, where it says in Parshat Kitisa, V'chag Shavuot, Taseh Locha Bikurei Ketzir Chitim, V'chag Asif Tukufa Tashana. So it says about Chag Shavuot that it is Bikurei. The beginning, the first of the Ketzir Chitim, Einu Ela Bikurei Ketzir Chitim. It's only the first of the harvest of the Chitim. Tzir Seorim Inayin. How do I know it's also the first of the Seorim? Tamal Omar, where it says in Mishpatim, V'chag HaKetzir Bikurei Ma'asecha, Asher Tizra Basadeh, V'chag HaAsif B'tzeit HaShana B'aspechad Ma'asecha Min HaSadeh. These are the psukim that are found in Sefer Shmot that describe the Shlosh Regalim. The first one we quoted was from Parshat Kitisa, where it mentions the three Regalim. The Parshia in Kitisa is almost an identical copy of the Parshia that is found in Shmot Chav Gimel, which is Parshat Mishpatim, where the first time the Shlosh Regalim are mentioned is in Parshat Mishpatim. So we quoted Kitisa that says, Bikurei Ketzir Chitim. And again, between Kitisa and Mishpatim, there are slight nuanced differences, which are important to be omed on, and that's what the Gemara is noting here, that the Chag HaKetzir, Bikurei Masecha, is Asher Tizra Basadeh. Uses a different terminology. It doesn't call it Ketzir Chitim, it calls it Tizra Basadeh, that which is planted in the field. So, Ein Le'alash Tizra. That's only if you planted it. Alume Elehen, if they grew by themselves, how do I know also they can't come before the Shtei Lechem, Inayim? Tamalomar Basadeh, anything in the field. Ein Le'ela Basadeh. That's only true of items that are found out in the field. Minayin Rabot Shibigag, things that grow on the roof. Shibichurva, that grew in an area, a desolated area where there were old buildings. Shibatzit, or that grew in a pot. Ushibisfina, or grew in a boat. Tamad Lomar, where it says in Pasha Korach, Bikurei kol asher ba'atzam, asher yavil la'ashem, l'chayyeh, kol tahor b'veitcha yochlenu. In Korach, when it's speaking about that which goes to the Kohanim, over there it says, Bikurei kol asher ba'atzam, the Bikurim of anything that is found in the land. That means that anything new that is grown can't precede the Shtei Lechem. So now we've included Chitim, Seorim. Now with the catch-all phrase, we've included these other locations, which are going to become the primary problem over here, are these other locations which are clearly not your primary locations to bring these items from, they're also subsumed in this Isor of bringing them before Shtei Lechem. Minayin Shadei Kodemet L'Nisachim Uperot Ailan. How do I know that it's also before the Nisachim? Now we're speaking about the Nischei Yayin. We're speaking about the Shemen that's brought and the Perot Ailan, which are part of the Bikurim. Nemarkan Bikurei Ma'asecha. Again, the Pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim says Bikurei Ma'asecha. Benerla Halan, and it says also there in Parshat Mishpatim, Ba'aspechat Ma'asecha Minasadeh, when you gather in your produce from the fields, Malalan Nisachim Uperot Ilan, just like over there, we're speaking about fruits and the Nisachim Yayin, Avkan Nisachim Uperot Ilan. So to over here, it's also speaking about Perot, Nisachim and the Perot Ilan. As Miuchas Rashi notes over here, because it says over there, Ba'aspechat Ma'asecha Minasadeh, Kol Ma'asecha. And also, Votozman Masvin Yainu Perot Ailan. It also happens to be the time period in which you bring in those things from the field. So just like by the time period of Sukkot, where they're bringing in the things from the field, it's a reference to all these items, the Perot Ailan, and to the Yain as well. So too by Shavuot, when it speaks about Ma'asecha, the Ma'asecha also is a reference to Perot Ailan and the Yain. So that means that the Shtei Lechem is really a demarcation point in the Mikdash, which delineates the point from which all the new items can start to be brought. The new fruits, the new yayin, the new grains, that's both wheat, barley, it's a cutoff for all of these items. That's what the Braita just taught us. So now here, finally, we get to the question. That was a long Braita, but now we're back in. What was the question? Shibagag, Shibachurva, Shibatzitz, Oshibisfina. All of these items are areas where we would not ask you to bring them from. And more importantly, we wouldn't consider them to be perot haaretz. Perot haaretz are things that grow on the ground, that grow on the land. So now all of these are not classified as things that grow on the ground. The only one that might be somewhat questionable is bechurva and maybe begav. It's not clear here whether those are or not. It's not clear whether the question is from all four of the items, or only from the latter two items, which is that tzitz grown in a pot clearly is not growing on the ground. And sfina is something that is not on the ground as well. Now, if you're bringing from the perot haaretz, which is the shivat aminim perot haaretz, then why are these restricted from coming before shtei alechem? They're not classified as bikurim. So the question on Ula is, tmarim shibaharim, the dates that are found on the mountains, they are much more considered to be perot haaretz than the sfina and the atzitz. And Ula says, oh, if you bring those, lokidesh, they don't work. Yet the Braita clearly indicates that these are forms of bikurim that are restricted from being brought before shtei alechem, which means that they are classified as bikurim. So if they're classified as bikurim, how can Ula, where you have something growing on the Eretz Yisrael, that is a tamar, in a subpar location, and he's telling us that's not bikurim, yet you have other items that are not even growing on the ground here, and they're considering them bikurim. My answer is seifa atan leminachot. Seifa is a reference to the areas that you source minachot from. So it's not about bikurim. They would fail as bikurim, but they're good enough to bring the minachot from. And again, the shtei alechem is the first of the minachot that are brought in the mikdash. And so these items are also prevented from being brought before the shtei alechem, not because they are bikurim, but because they are ra'oy the mincha, or they could be used for minachot. Miuchas the Rashi explains this in one of two ways. He says that either atan minachot, the one answer that he brings is the way that we explained it, that this is a reference to items that you source minachot from and not source bikurim from. Then he brings an inyan acher, another way to explain it is safat seifa dekra atan minachot, the latter part of the pasuk where we brought the source from, mechol asher ba'artzam, is not a reference to the bikurim, but rather a reference to the minachot. So that the Gzer Shava to bikurim is not about that these are bikurim and these are bikurim, but rather it's going to teach you that the shtei alechem is the reference point in these two areas, because bikurei ktzir chitim is the shtei alechem. So the bikurim here are also the shtei alechem, but a kol asher ba'artzam is not about bikurim, that's about minachot. And therefore it's about the drosha to pasuk, not about the actual items themselves being minachot. All right, so now Gemara says, matkif la ravada bava, ihochi, Hainu dichtiv, what are you going to do with the kol tor bebeitcha yochlenu? Anybody who is tor in your household can eat them. V'imenachot, v'zichrei kehuna o demitachlan. The pasuk quoted as the proof text for the fact that these items can be brought is bikurei kol asher ba'atzam, asher v'yulu Hashem lechayeh, kol tor bebeitcha yochlenu. That pasuk that starts out with what we quoted as the proof text for that they are brought ends with kol tor bebeitcha yochlenu. So how could that be a reference to minachot? The minachot are kodshei kodeshim, and they're only eaten by zikrei kuhuna. Makes it sound like that the pasuk speaking about bikurim and not about minachot. Bikurim are available to the kohanim and to their entire family to be eaten. So if the Braita is speaking about bikurim, then that line makes sense. Kol tahor beveitcha yochlenu means that anyone who is part of your family or part of the kohen's family has the right to consume these items. But if you're telling me now all of a sudden they have minachot, minachot are kodshei kodashim, and are only eaten by zichrei kuhuna, so then how can you make a claim that anyone in the family can eat them? So Amar Rav Misharshia, trei krai ktive. There are two psukim. One pasuk says, l'chayeh, uchtiv, kol tahor beveitcha yochlenu. Where it says in Parshat Korach, bikurei kol asher ba'atzam, asher yavil la'ashem, l'chayeh. Kol tahor beveitcha yochlenu. Ha ketzan? How do you deal with that? Kan bebikurim, kan beminachot. One is a reference to the bikurim, and one is a reference to the minachot. So therefore you don't have a problem now. You have one that is describing the bikurim, which is Kol Tor Bebetecha Yochlenu, anybody can partake of it. L'chaiya, which seems to indicate it's only for you, the Kohanim, not for your families. That's a reference to the Menachot. V'vashi Amar Kulei B'Menachot. Now the whole thing is speaking about Menachot. The Seifa Dekra Atan L'Lachmei Todah. And the Seifa the Pasuk is a reference to the Lachmei Todah. According to Ravashi, the entirety of this description over here was a reference to Menachot. So the Pasuk itself, which has Kol Tahor B'Beitcha and has L'Chayyeh, is even by Menachot. There's certain Menachot that are Kodshei Kodashim, and they're only the Zichrei Kuna. There's certain Menachot, not your typical Mincha, but the breads that come along with the Todah, that are also then available to the whole family, because they're Kodshim Kalim. So the Truma that is given from the Lachmei Todah, the 4 out of the 40 that are given to the Kohanim, are not only eaten by the Kohanim, they can be eaten by their families. So the Pasuk in its entirety is speaking about Menachot. So at first we run into a problem, which is Kol Tor B'Beitcha Yochaluto, which seems to indicate that its Pasuk is speaking about Bikurim. If that's the case, then how can you claim that the end of this Braita is speaking about Menachot when it quotes the Pasuk of Bikurei Kol Asher Ba'atzam? It quotes that Pasuk from Korach. That Pasuk then continues and says Kol Tor B'Beitcha Yochlenu. So then that would indicate or seem to indicate that it has to be something that can be eaten by the whole family. So the Gemara then says, no, that Pasuk is bifurcated because there are two statements in the Pasuk. There's Kol Tor B'Beitcha and there's L'Chayyeh. Part of the Pasuk is speaking about Bikurim, part of the Pasuk is speaking about Menachot. And therefore, if you want to say Bikurim, Kol Asher Ba'atzam is a reference to Menachot, that's fine because you have a part of the Pasuk that indicates that we're speaking about Menachot. Vashi goes on to say the whole thing is Menachot. And therefore, you can read the end of the Braita as being about Menachot. And you can read the whole pasuk about Menachot. What about Kol Tor B'Beitcha? That's a type of Mincha, which is called the Lachmei Todah. Those are breads that are brought in the Mikdash. They're not your classic Mincha, but they're a Mincha that is Kodshim Kalim, and therefore the Kol Tor B'Beitcha would even apply to that Mincha, or to that reference of the Menachot. Alright, so now the Gemara says B'Plukta. This din of Ula is really a Machloket Amoraim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Imevi Lo Kidesh. If you bring them, they are not kadosh. Reish Lakish Amar may be kidesh. If they does bring them, they are kadosh. Naseke kachush bekodoshim. It's the equivalent of bringing something weak to kodoshim. If you bring a subpar behema as a korban, if the korban is brought b'diavad, it is successful at being brought. Now, it's an interesting din in terms of kachush. And generally, we would discourage someone from bringing kachush. Someone brings a korban kochush and Shabbat, and they shechted it already. If the zrikat adam is yet to be done, we say to him, bring something better as a korban. So even though you've already shechted it, and it's Shabbat, and normally we would say, well, you violated Shabbat already, move along with the korban. Despite that fact, we say, bring a better korban. But once you hit zrikat adam, once you've done it already, what's done is done, and the korban is an accepted korban, even though it should not have been brought, because you need to bring from your best, not from your worst. We say, if you bring your worst stuff, you think that's what Hashem wants? You think that's what He's going to accept? It's a clear demand that you bring your best. But b'diavad, if you bring something that's subpar, it works. And so what Reish Lakish is pointing out is that the tmarim, shibaharim, are no different than a behema kachush for kodoshim. And so, like you were suggesting, why can't it be that b'diavad, it's okay? The chatchila, you don't bring it from there, but b'diavad, you do. Bishlama Reish Lakish Kadamra Taima. Reish Lakish explains the reasoning behind his position. El Rabbi Yochanan my Taima. What's Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning? Meaning, what's Ula's reasoning? That it's even b'diavad, pasul, problematic, and you can't make it into Bikurim. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan Chazai B'Chalom, Milta Malyota Amino. I'll say something good. So Rabbi Lazar says, Rabbi Yochanan appeared to me in a dream, and the question here is, what exactly happened in the dream? Did is it that Rabbi Yochanan actually explained to Rabbi Elazar the reasoning behind his position? Or is it that Rabbi Yochanan appeared to Rabbi Elazar in the dream, encouraging him to explain it? For the way that Rashi Nektav Yad says it is, V'kevan de gavra rabbi itchazeh li amina milta malyota ani omer ayom. That since some great person appeared to me in a dream, I'm going to say something really good today. And that's what happened. He explained Rabbi Yochanan's position today. Or that Rabbi Elazar had explained it, and Rabbi Yochanan came to him in a dream to give him an shekoyach that he explained it correctly. It's one of those three things. Amar Kra, It says, "V'lakachta mireshit kol pri adama asher tavi me'artzucha asher Hashem lokecha noten lach." Samta batena v'lachta l'makom asher yivchar Hashem lokecha asher ken shmo sham. So in the pasuk you have mireshit, and you also have me'artzucha. Mireshit v'lo kol reshit. When it says that you bring the first of your fruits in Parshat Ki Tavo with regards to the Bikurim, it doesn't say reshit, the first of your fruits. It says mireshit, from some of the reshit, some of the giving fruits. Me'artzecha, v'lo kol artzecha. It says from some parts of the land, not from all parts of the land. So now, mireshit teaches you that it's only mishivat aminim, not from all the peyrots. I mean, some of the first that are brought. Me'artzecha means only from some locations can you bring it. You can't bring it from all locations. And that would be that the psula, tamarim shebarim, or the peyrot shebamakim, they are rejected because of me'artzecha. Now he agrees with Mereshit that it's not all the first fruits, it's only the first fruits of the Shibata Minim. So what does he do with Artzecha? Mibayle Kedetanya, Rabban Gamliel, Barabi Omer, Nemarkan Eretz, Nemarlanan Eretz, says by the Shibata Minim Eretz, and it says over here the word Eretz, Malalan Shvach Eretz, just like by the case of the Shibata Minim, it means from those things that are the best of the produce of the land. Avkan shvacheretz. So to over here, it has to be from the best of the land. And then Rashi in the Taviyat says that once you have the gzer shava of eretz eretz, the mireshit obviously told you that you only don't bring all the fruits. You have to bring some fruits, but didn't define for you which of the fruits you bring. And then eretz eretz defines for you which are those fruits that you bring. Or you're going to say reshit mireshit comes to teach you that even from the fruits that you're bringing, which means shivata minim, you're bringing the best of those. Not all of them, but from the best of those. That means whether it's the dates in the amakim or the dates on the harim, whatever you're bringing from, out of that section that you're bringing it, should bring the best of those items. That's what it means, mireshit. Ve'idach, what does Rabbi Yochanan do? He needs this limud as well. Eretz, me'eretz. Because he has two limudim from there. He has Artzecha, so then it'll be the Gzer Shava of Eretz. Eretz, the teach you, comes from the Shivata Yaminim. But Me'eretz, the Mem in front of it, says not all of the Shivata Yaminim are going to be brought. Only some of them. V'idach Eretz Me'eretz, lo mashmalei. Rish Lakish says that's not a limud, Me'eretz. It just means Me'artzecha, you bring it from your land. It doesn't mean from the land, not all the land. It means from your land. And so he doesn't have that diuk that's learned out. Rabbi Yochanan says Me'artzecha gives you that additional limud as well. Tani chada shebegag shebechurva shebatzich v'sfina mevi v'kore. We have one braita that says that if you bring the bikurim from any of these items, you bring it and you read parshat bikurim, meaning that they're considered to be artzecha. They're considered to be your land. V'tani idach. We have another braita that says mevi v'eino kore. You bring the Bikurim, but you don't read the Parshia of Bikurim. In the Mishnayot of Bikurim, there are three different types of peirot that can be brought up as Bikurim. There are peirot that you bring, Vekore. Those are Lechatzchila, the peirot that you bring up to Mikdash of Bikurim. You bring them, and you read Parshat Bikurim. Now, reading Parshat Bikurim can be for one of two reasons. Either you're doing it in the right season, which is Zman HaSimcha, which is between Shavuot and Sukkot, or also that you're bringing the right fruits or the right items up, and that's why you're koreh. There are status of items where maybe you bring the bikurim, but ain't no koreh. And you don't read it. You don't read mikra bikurim. Not reading mikra bikurim, because either you brought in a zman, that's not simcha. You brought it after Sukkot. Again, we already said you can't bring it before Shavuot. But after Sukkot, if you bring it then until Hanukkah time, those are peirot where you bring up the bikurim, but ain't no koreh, you don't read it. There are also other instances in the Gemara and Baba Batra. Other places indicate maybe a ger brings peirot, v'eino koreh, because he can't say that this is a land that you promised to our forefathers because he's a ger. So there's a shita over there that a ger is maybe v'eino koreh. And there are other instances over there where the Gemara suggests that you bring it up, v'eino koreh, that you don't read it. Gemara and Baba Batra seems to indicate you can't read Parshiat Mikra Bikurim if that's not demanded, if it's not correct at that time, because you're standing before Hashem, standing before Hashem, you gotta tell the truth, you gotta say things the way they're supposed to be said. So that's why Eino Koreh in certain instances, where you, whatever you're bringing is somewhat problematic vis-a-vis the Lashon of Mikra Bikurim, we won't let you say Mikra Bikurim.
So over here you have these four places where you bring the payroll, the Bikurim from. One brisa says you bring it and you read Mikra Bikurim, implying that that means that they are considered produce of the Aretz and that they are brought fully as Bikurim. You have another brisa that says maybe you bring them Veinu Karet and you don't read Mikra Bikurim because you can't say Maritzacha, because you can't say they're from your land. These are all items that are not from your land. Bishlam Aresh Lakish Gaga Gag Lokasha. For Resh Lakish, it's not a problem. Roof on roof is not a question. Hag begag de mara, behag begag de bayit. That is, one of them is the roof of a cave, and one of them is the roof of your house. The roof of the cave is parallel to the ground, because the cave is underground, and therefore it's the ground, it is the aretz that you're growing on. Gag of your bayit is not considered to be the aretz. Churva, churva lo kasha, kan bechurva avuda, kan bechurva shein avuda. It depends on what's done there. Is it a churva where you worked the land and you planted it, and therefore these are reshit bikurim? Or is it a churva that is just overgrown and there happen to be things that grow there? Is it considered to be bikurim or not? Atzitza, atzitz lo kasha. A planting plot on a planting plot is not a kasha. Kan bin nikuva. If it has a hole in it, it's considered to be attached to the ground and therefore it's artzicha. Kan b'she'enu nikuva. Here, it doesn't have a hole in it. It's considered to be separate from the ground. Sfina, sfina lokasha. Kan b'sfina shaleitz. Kan b'sfina shalcheres. One has to do with a boat made out of wood, and one is a boat that is made out of clay. In Miyuchas Rashi writes, sfina shalcheres mevi v'koreh, mishom deshel eretzi. The earthenware boat is considered to be the land of Israel because it comes from the earth of Israel. It's made out of, the raw material was out of Eretz Yisrael. It's a classification like Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the wood. The Baal Tosafot takes serious issue with this because intuitively you would have think that Kli Cheres is not so porous and therefore it's not considered to be a part of the land, whereas Eitz is more porous and therefore it's considered to be a part of the land. The Baal Tosafot take much more time dealing with this. And Tosafot says the reason over here, it doesn't say Havaha Me'eitz. Both of them are wooden boats. Hadenikiva Adelonikiva. One of them has a hole, one doesn't have a hole. Because you know what happens to a boat that has a hole in it, then it won't be a boat anymore. But he says that that explanation that's brought here in the Miyuchas Rashi is problematic because in all the other answers that it gave, it always gave the answer that made it into Eretz first. And the one that says that it's not there, it's in the second one. Over here, the way he's explaining it, then Shel Eitz is the one that's not Eretz, and Shel Cheres is Eretz, and it's the exact opposite of all the other examples that are brought over here. Then the Rabbeinu Tam makes a suggestion that when you have a hole in a Kli Cheres, then it is helpful, it makes it Mechubar the Karka. There's a hole in an Eitz, doesn't help you at all. And even though these are boats, and having a hole in them would be problematic, he says that the earth, or what's contained in them, plugs the hole, and therefore they're not a problem for sinking, and that's why you would suggest over here that a Kli Cheres is Mechubar, because it has a Nekev in it, whereas the Eitz, even with the Nekev in it, is not Mechubar. And then Tosfot finally brings what we would have possibly thought would be the answer over here, which is, Aya Ragil Rabbeinu Tam Lefereish, Debshal Eitz, Afilu Nikiva Lo Bayi, Eitz, you don't even need it to have a hole in it, Dimitlachlech Minakarka Yoter Mishal Cheres. Because it gets moister, it's more impacted by the ground or by the water that is there, more than a Kli Cheres, which is less porous. The wood is more porous, absorbs more water, and therefore the wood is something that would be considered to be attached to the ground, whereas Cheres would not be attached to the ground. And then that way, it's in the same order as all the other items, which is the Sfina Shel Eitz is the one that is considered Mechubar the Karka, and then Sfina Shel Cheres is the one that's not considered to be Mechubar the Karka. And then the Baal Tosafot go on to explain about the Gemara in Gittin, which discusses different scenarios with the boats. Are they grounded? Are the boats floating in the water? That would make a difference as well, meaning that if it's floating in the water, it's less likely to be considered Mechubar the Karka versus if it's beached on the side there and actually sitting in the ground, where it may be considered attached. Does it have a hole in it? Does it not have a hole in it? And there's this very large Tosafot that's trying to discuss both the Gemara and Gittin and then try to reconcile it with what we have over here. So now, according to Reish Lakish, all of this makes sense because Reish Lakish says, b'diavad, you can bring Bikurim from subpar locations. So one bright is talking about the Chatchila, and therefore you say, bring the Bikurim, and you say the Mikra Bikurim. The other items are subpar locations, are not really Artzacha. But b'diavad, you can bring them,
And since you can bring them b'diavad, you bring them and aren't correct. El Rabbi Yochanan kashum. According to Rabbi Yochanan, when you have subpar locations, you don't bring them at all, then how do you explain the stira in the brayto? Mar says, Tenayehi. Rabbi Yochanan says, Enim ha'achanami, it's a machloket tanaim. The Tanya, Shibagag, Shibachurva, mevi v'kore. Shibatzit, Shibisvina, Enu mevi kol ikar. So we have brayto that says that by Gag and Churva, you bring them and you read. And here you see there's a Tana that says, Enu mevi kol ikar. There's a third opinion that says you don't bring them at all, and Rabbi Yochanan will subscribe to that position that says you don't bring them at all. Subpar locations are not bikurim, period. And therefore, these areas are not good, just like the tmarim shibaharim and these other locations, lo kidesh, they don't become bikurim, and you don't bring them, and you don't read mikra bikurim. This bright seems to indicate there's a difference between Gag and Churva, where everybody conceives them to be artzecha, versus the Atzitz and the Sfina, where they're not considered to be Artzecha. So that's why before we noted that maybe the question was only from the two and not from the all four of them. Because over here, this only answers two of the problems, Rabbi Yochanan, all of them. The Baal Tosafot think that all four of them are a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, and all the way along it was all four of them that we were discussing. And he proves that from the fact when the Gemara says, Bishma the Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is not a problem, and it answers all four of them as Lokasha, Lokasha, which shows you that each one of them would have been a problem. And in that way, the Baal Yitzchak would say, you only have an answer for two of the issues for Rabbi Yochanan. The other two still remain a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Our Mishnah says that you have to bring them from the best locations, and it enumerates the best locations in Eretz Yisrael. Best locations were Machnis and Zatcha. And then it says the second tier was Aforayim, or the way that Rashi in the Tabiat has it, Kaforayim, was a place that were great for wheat. Now the Gemara brings something that's correlated, which is Amri Le, Yochana Umamre. Yochana and Mamre are the Chartumei Mitzrayim. They are Balek Shafim in Mitzrayim. They say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Teven Atamachnis Laforayim, you're bringing in straw to Aforayim. Aforayim is the place that was mentioned in our Mishnah. And what they're saying is, Aforayim, which is famous for its grains and for its wheat, you're bringing outside produce into there? Why would you bring outside produce into a place which prides itself on its produce and its production? It's meaningless, worthless. You're not going to make money bringing outside produce into a place who has the highest quality product. And that's what they say to Moshe Rabbeinu. When he starts doing all the simanim that Hashem tells them to bring, they say to him, you're bringing in magic to the land of magic? What do you think you're going to do here? This is the land of the Chartumim and the Kshafim. You're going to become the Balk Shifa Gdola here? I mean, then who are you to bring in magic into the land of magic? Amar Lo, Moshe responds to them, and as Miuchas Rashi notes, their question is not a real question, and Moshe's answer is not a real answer, but he's answering them the Fishitatam, which is, Amar Lo, Amre Inche, the Mata Yarka, Yarka Shokul, to the place where there's lots of vegetables, bring your vegetables to sell. The place where there are lots of vegetables, people come to buy vegetables. So then, if they're going to come to buy vegetables there and you want to sell your vegetables, bring them to a place that has lots of vegetables. So Zodu, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you want to demonstrate your skill as a magician, you got to come to a place where there are Balei Kshafim, Balei Chartumim, because otherwise, it's not a big deal to do magic in other places. Do magic in Mitzrayim, then you're a serious magician in that place. So that's Moshe's response to them. This is brought because of the mention of Aforayim, saying that Aforayim is a place that they use in the folk saying and the mashal that says that that's a place that's renowned for its grains. And that's what the Mishnah said. That's one of those locations that is min ha-mufchar, that's renowned for its grains. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on Pehei Amud Aleph.